And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. According to the book, nobody can come running up and say, I have found something new. It's already been here. Somebody else has already fooled with it. Somebody else has already messed around with TM and yoga before George Harrison them wrote My Sweet Lord. Somebody's already been fooling around with that stuff, and I'm going to show you where it comes from, the roots of it, tonight. By the way, the roots of all meditation and yoga is Hinduism. And if you have somebody uptown here and they say, we're going to give you a meditation class and teach you TM and stuff like that, all they are is a Hindu and don't know it. All that stuff comes from Hinduism, where a person looks into their inner self and begins to see the inside of them and get in touch with reality, because they believe that God is all and all is God and everything is God and you are God and I'm God and this is God and that's God, and all reality and everything you can see and touch is God. And one of the sad things about a lot of that Eastern mysticism is they believe strongly in reincarnation. And they believe that when you die, that you're going to come back again. And if you do wrong, something sinful in this life, that you'll pay for it in others' lives. So if a man gets sick, gets cancer, gets AIDS or leukemia or something like that, or something bad happens when you have a bad car wreck, they say, well, it ain't no use to feel sorry for him. He's paying for something he done in a previous life, before this life. So therefore they have no compassion on the sick and suffering and just let them live. It's a twisted, perverted view of reality, and of course, me and you know it as a doctrine of demon. Now, as we begin tonight, I'm going to read you a few quotes and tell you why the New Age movement has suddenly just skyrocketed and become real famous. They had, I'll show you maybe a picture of it in a minute, out in, of all places, San Francisco, a New Age festival a few years ago. Literally tens of thousands of people come and set up booths, and they help push all their mantras and shagnas and rostras and blah, blah, you know, all that juru, mas, rish, mos, Eastern mysticism. And listen, brother, that stuff gets plumb. It gets on down to holistic theology and even health foods and acupuncture and laying hands on people and the power of touch and all kind of wild things like that. Matter of fact, I heard about this one lady. Now, some of you might take this wrong, but a Christian lady gave a testimony that she got in all this nutrition foods. And they said, I met with a group of ladies and we had Bible studies on a certain night of the week. And she said what it really amounted to was we had Bible study real quick and got it over with, and then all we talked about was nutrition. And she said, little by little, that stuff started sounding spooky to me. She said they begin to talk about eating certain kinds of leaves and beans or tea and stuff to make your eyes better and this and that and this and that. And it almost borderlines on some old Eastern philosophy. Now, I'm not saying that you're supposed to be scared to eat sunflower seeds or nothing like that. But I'm saying a lot of those Eastern mysticism stuff fools around with what they call holistic health, which means you keep yourself healthy by eating the right thing and doing this and that. Now, there might be some truth and some good in that, but a Bible study, it's like somebody saying we're Christians and using it to push Amway. You know, you don't use the Bible to push Amway. Amen. Amen. So tonight, the beginnings of the New Age movement is touching every part of our lives. They call it NAM. That means New Age movement. And people like Shirley MacLaine, the actress, is really giving it a boost. What she said, I'm going to quote you what happened to Shirley MacLaine in a hot tub when she had this experience. Quote, my whole body seemed to float. Slowly, slowly, I became the water. I felt the interconnection of my breathing with the pulse of the energy around me. In fact, I was the air, the water, the darkness, the walls, the bubbles, the candle, the wet rocks under the water, and even the sound of the rushing river outside. That's a quote from Shirley MacLaine. That's what made Shirley MacLaine be able to go out in the Pacific Ocean and throw her hands up and chant over and over, "I am God. I am God." It's a strange thing. It's a weird day that we're living in. We're living in this day when channelers are so popular. How many of you know what a channeler is? A channeler is like a pipeline, see? And these people, a lot of movie stars go to them, and they'll say, "Give me some advice. Should I go on this TV program? Should I invest $1 million in this stock? Should I move?" One famous movie star, I believe it's Linda Evans, goes to a channeler and gets off Dynasty. You know, on Dynasty. She gets her directions from a channeler. I believe her name's Knight or something like that. I got her name over here. And she told Linda Evans that a big earthquake was going to strike her part of Los Angeles and destroy it. And it's reported that Linda Evans is moving out of there and bought her $1.5 million mansion up north of Los Angeles because of what her channeler told them to do. And she, I'm going to give you some other folks that are influenced by them that you might recognize their names. Helen Reddy, Marsha Mason, Lisa Bonet, Tina Turner, and musician Paul Horn. Shirley MacLaine's books and televised series Out on a Limb has led millions of people to New Age occultism and spirit contact. Phil Donahue, Oprah Winfrey, and other major talk shows have had people on them endorsing spirit guides and the New Age. For example, July 25th, 1986, actor and convert Michael York appeared on the Merv Griffin Show with Jock Purcell, who channeled Lazarus before. Lazarus is a spirit, and they get demons, or they don't call it a demon, that's what we call it. And right before millions of people channeled him up on television. Many of our top stars are now consulting him. Actress Sharon Gless, who plays Cagney on the TV show Cagney and Lacey, who won an Emmy Award in 1987. In her acceptance speech of the Emmy Award, Cagney and Lacey said, she told tens of millions of people her success was due to Lazarus. And that's why she got famous and won the award. Linda Evans, Joyce DeWitt, who played on Three's Company, following the guidance of another spirit channeled by a housewife channeler. Occult film strips are promoting seances and necromancy in some elementary schools. Tarot card readings are offered at McDonald's restaurants. University students are turning out by the thousands to hear guest lectures on the occult. There's a new faith emerging in scientific mysticism, and the New Age themes are many sectors of society. In short, what I'm saying is the New Age movement is important for us to know about because it is shifting the way American people think about spiritual things from Christian values to the practices of the occult. Now, the New Age movement can be summarized in four basic beliefs. Number one, that all true reality is God. Number two, that personal enlightenment is important since men exist in a state of ignorance of their divine nature. Number three, that altered consciousness, psychic powers, and spirit contact are the means of such enlightenment, that you get help from, quote, the force, you know. That's the same today, the force. They don't know if it's God, they don't know what it is, they just call it a force, and you'll hear that in just a moment. And number four, that in many quarters, social and political activism is needed to help organize people of like mind to produce a united world, socially, economically, religiously, and politically. Now, there's why it's important for us. You say, "Brother Danny, it don't matter what them bunch of nuts out in Hollywood do. What's that got to do with an independent Bible-believing church like we are? Why don't you just preach the Bible tonight?"
What I'm saying is this. The reason we ought to be concerned and know what's going on is they are an organized movement to bring in a one world government. There's where me and you come in. They are organizing the world to become one religiously. And all this talk about bringing the denominations together and let's all work together and let's just forget this and that and all denominations work together, Catholic, Protestant, Jews, everybody, we all love God. All that is an attempt of the, what's called the movement of the liberals and the one world economic government religious world, setting up the world under a one world religious political system for the Antichrist to take over. That's what's coming. Sure is. That's what's coming. Now, let me move on right quickly and give you a few more quotes and we'll show you some stuff. In Los Angeles alone, there are only 1,000 channelers right now. Jack Purcell channels Lazarus. He contacts Lazarus and gives these rich people advice. He said that he unexpectedly possessed him one evening during meditation and began to speak through him. A weekend seminar with Purcell channeling Lazarus and telling you important decisions to make cost $275 a person, with 600 to 800 people in attendance, or $200,000 a weekend that bird's getting. Ain't that something? Do you know how Motley Crue got rich? Do you know how Guns N' Roses got rich? There's 10,000 bands in America that can make as good a music as them guys can. The old Slash, you know. His hair looks like it. That's the way he plays the guitar. Bunch of drug addicts off the street. You say, well, how come some just hit it and some don't? This guy here is making $200,000 a weekend. You know how he done it? And he made contact, boy. He got a hold of something. And something energized him, and now he's making $200,000 a week. Whatever it is that got in Jack Purcell gave him the ability to get a hold of people. Did you know, where's Thomas at? Is Thomas here tonight, Brother Thomas? Thomas got to see Kiss, the rock group Kiss in Atlanta. And he went in the back room, and it was Atlanta down there, and he said when Gene Simmons, the singer on the rock group Kiss, came, everybody just stared at him. Like a force around him, like a force field, like a power. You know how a person gets rich and famous? Well, Cagney told you how. Cagney told you how she got up. Listen, some of them movie stars, I've seen girls walking down the street and marrying pretty as some of them are. Not many, but some. I mean, it's happened. But did you know something, ladies and gentlemen? How does a preacher get anywhere? He goes on the mountain and prays and God anoints him. I mean, listen, but how does a preacher raise up and do a great work for God? He's getting power from somewhere. The man can't do that by himself. Something's giving him power. He's paid a price. He's staying on his knees. He's maybe given up things when his friends was out praying and doing other things. He was seeking God and God anointed him. Now how does a man get power of the devil? He gets closer and gives himself to the devil. More and more and more. And the devil says, I like you, bud. Let's get rich. You don't do. And the devil starts moving over them disc jockeys. Play their records. And then he starts moving on the kid. They're cool. How in the world could people fall in love with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle? You tell me how they could do that. I mean, explain that. Bart Simpson. Lord have mercy. Why all of a sudden, boom, something's an overnight success making millions of dollars? Have you ever thought about stuff like that? Kind of weird, ain't it? It's weird. Lazarus, if you talk to him personally, it's $100 an hour almost. And Lazarus too still has a 2-year waiting list. What if we preached on every weekend and charged you $275 each to get in here? Attendance would be down, wouldn't it? His audio tapes sell at $20 a set, video at $60. Lazarus also may be contacted by phone at only $53 a half hour charge to your MasterCard or Visa. Let me give you some of the beliefs of the New Age movement. God is an all-impersonal, pervading energy. The Holy Spirit is an energy that can be used creatively or physically. Jesus Christ is a New Age teacher, an illustration of an enlightened individual who realized He was God. Now, if you don't learn nothing else tonight, if you learn what I'm getting ready to say, it'd be worth you coming to church here tonight. When a New Age guy talks about Jesus Christ, now it's the same thing for them Moonies that sit out there and sell them roses. And it's the same thing for these weirdos at the airport and these mahop, mahoop, mahip, all these weirdos, man. You can tell by looking at them, there's something crazy about them. There's something missing somewhere. All these cults, they all believe the same thing about Jesus Christ. You don't ever make the mistake of saying, well, do you believe in Jesus? They'll say, sure I do. And you think, oh, isn't it wonderful, they're a Christian. Brother, when you say you believe in Jesus, and they say, yeah, they ain't thinking what you think when you say I believe in Jesus. You know what they think? They believe that the Christ is a person that's helped people all down through the years. And in every age, the Christ picks out somebody to work through. You understand? So in one age, the Christ picked Buddha and spoke to people through him. In another age, he picked Jesus and spoke through him. So when they say Christ is coming soon, they ain't even talking about the Lord Jesus that me and you are. They're talking about another man coming in that the Christ is going to be working through. So it's so confusing, and people don't never read the Bible. Christians don't never study. They're just suckered in thinking that all these people saved. The devil's got it all mixed up like a big old bowl of spaghetti. Well, you can't tell what's going on nowadays if you don't study and read the Bible and stay up on what's happening. And tonight, when they say the Christ will soon be here, they ain't talking about Jesus. They're talking about that mystical person, Christ, that's always existed inhabiting somebody else's body. And you know what I heard one of them say on tape, that tape I've been listening to and watching on video? They said every 2,000 years that we get a new leader as a Christ, they say it's time for another right now. And he's coming. He's coming. But he ain't Jesus. He ain't Jesus. Let me give you a few more beliefs right quickly. We'll hurry. Now, when you talk about sin, they say that's ignorance of your personal divinity. Oh, brother. In the pantheistic teachings of the New Age movement is rejected by the Word of God. The Bible teaches that the eternal, infinite God created a finite universe from nothing. The Bible teaches that wisdom and knowledge come by non-mystical means. The Bible teaches that revealed knowledge comes from the Bible, not from meditating or looking into your inner self from your third eye in the middle of your head and understanding your deep consciousness and all that baloney. The Bible teaches an absolute morality which is based on God's character. The New Age movement teaches a morality based on personal preference, which means if you think it's bad, it's bad, and you think it's not bad, it's not bad. The knowledge of God, the Bible teaches that God is infinite, loving, personal, and you can know Him. In the New Age movement, God is just a force. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was unique in nature as the only incarnation of God. The Bible teaches that sin is real. They teach it's all in your imagination and you're poisoned by religious upbringing. In the Bible, salvation occurs when a man repents and receives Christ as his Savior. The New Age movement teaches that salvation is a lengthy process of realizing your own divinity. It's not a gift, but is achieved by personal effort and merit, as in yoga meditation. And on and on and on and on, they contradict and blaspheme the Word of God. I'm going to try to pronounce some of these names like applied kismiology, muscle testing, homeopathy, a diluting of certain senses for medical treatment, and the alleged medical diagnosis
by inspection of the iris in the eye and therapeutic touch, an Eastern form of laying on of hands, and dozens of other weird kinds of ways of making you well. One or two more quotes and we'll start the thing. Acupuncture. Actress Jacqueline Smith had a whiplash. Actor James Garner had a pain in his knee. Robert Wagner wanted to quit smoking, and Merv Griffin was exhausted. Each of them went to Zion U, Hollywood's leading acupuncturist. He jokes that he's needled a lot of people, you know, and talked about them, and acupuncture means needle, picking with a needle. Just like if you got a back pain, they'll stick a needle in your ear right here, and it's supposed to make your back better. And stuff like that. Now, there might be some points. As an old man about 100 years old gave me a little thing up in Ohio, and he said, if you'll wiggle your toes on this thing every day, you'll never have a headache. And I said, I'll try it. And I kept that thing in my car, and I fooled around with it and rubbed it around in my hand. I can't tell if it's made me not have headaches or not. I had one this morning after staying up about all night. But they think that if you punch your thing, you know, it might be like if you got a headache real bad and you mash that thing hard enough in your toe, it'll hurt so bad you forget your head. I don't know. I think that's the way some of that stuff works. Amen. All right. Now, I've got, there's some books by a lady named Alice Bailey, and there's a real smart lady, and I don't know what kind of Christianity she's got, but she's a fine Christian. She's a fine lady, and her name's Constance Cundy, and she's real smart on stuff like this, and she's a lawyer from Motown up in Michigan, and she does some research on things like this, and this lady talks about books by Alice Bailey and says that she wrote about 3 books, and that is the base of the New Age movement. Then there's a lot of other people, names that you'll begin to notice besides Shirley MacLaine, Dick Sutphin, Das Ram, David Spangler, Robert Mueller, John Randolph Price, Ruth Montgomery, Abraham Maslow, Barbara Marks Hubbard, and so a lot of those names are names strongly connected with the New Age movement. Now, what I want to do is show you how this thing got started, and then tell you some weird things that are going on, and I'm going to deny what they're saying, that the New Age movement is not a religion. It most definitely is a religion. So leave this light one on just real dim so I can see my notes and get the rest of them off all together, and let's see. We didn't even have time to run over this stuff this morning, but we'll see what we can do. I mean, this evening, we didn't even have time to set it up. A little bit dimmer, brother. Down, down, down. A little bit more. A little bit more. A little bit more. That's good. Here's how it started. Now listen. If you grew up in the 60s, I'm going to bring back a feeling that you had back in the 60s. And you that grew up as teenagers in the 60s had no idea what you were listening to. But here's what started it.
Oh, this is the first time.
Listen to the words.
And Jupiter aligns with Mars.
Jupiter and Mars. Remember that?
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. The age of Aquarius. Aquarius. Aquarius.
There is a movement gaining momentum in our country which hopes to transform the world. Although its members are from diverse backgrounds, they are drawn together by common beliefs and objectives.
All right, did you hear what the man said? They hope to transform the world. Now, this is at the festival in California. New Age work has all kinds of different... Turn that light out up there, would y'all?
All right, appreciate that. They have all kinds of branches, see, that's tied in with them. Many of them people may deny. But listen, listen what these people are talking about as they interview them at that festival in San Francisco.
Why is a festival like this important? Because we have direction. You know, the ways we've been, the old ways longer fit. It's days, when people watch today, we can't do it the old way. We need new ways.
The most exciting time, I think, in the whole history of mankind.
Hear what the man said? Can you understand him back there? You can't? Yes or no? I can't see nothing. Hey, listen. He said, we are at the most exciting point of the history of mankind. And now listen real carefully and see if you can understand what he's saying.
We can either destroy ourselves or move into a new and wonderful golden age.
Could you understand that? Okay, try to get it clear in a minute. He said we're at the age where we're either going to destroy ourselves or move into a golden age. Now you know what they're after? They're after that utopia where man loves man and there's no war and we rid ourselves of pain and suffering. You know what they're doing? They're bringing in the Antichrist. That's all they're doing.
Now, Mr. Kitty, you talk about a new age, and we heard those terms a lot. What does the new age mean to you?
Well, we're moving from the Piscean age. It's been going for about the last 2,000 years.
Did you hear that? He said, we're moving from the age that's been going for the last 2,000 years. He knows we've been in an age. Now, he called it the Piscean age. Me and you call it the church age. The age of grace. But the guy don't know what he's talking about. Listen at him as he comments on what's coming.
The Aquarian age.
We're moving into the Aquarian age. Do you know what Aquarian means? When they were saying the age of Aquarius? I wrote it down from the dictionary, and I'm going to give you the definition. Aquarius means a time of unprecedented freedom. And it's dawning on this earth. And Aquarius is a northern constellation of stars up in the sky that is supposed to show a man with his left hand raised up and he's pouring water out of a vase with his right hand. Now you know that ain't Jesus, don't you? When the Lord comes, he's going to have that right hand raised up. That other fellow's the one that raises his left hand. That's Lucifer. All right, listen to what he says.
Each 2,000 years, there's a new age.
Each 2,000 years, there's a new age. Pretty smart guy, he's just got the wrong spirit.
And so different energies are coming in, and the old forms are breaking up to make way for the new.
What is going on? What's the new age?
Listen.
Eternity. Another term for this would be to be looking at things with your third eye, because this is the location of the third eye, the awareness.
Do you hear what she said? She said the new age is being able to look at things with your third eye. That is what kind of setups they had at that festival. Whole bunch of stuff like that. And they say that every person has this invisible third eye, and we always see as physical things with these two eyes, and we must learn to look inside of our... you know, like that. And brother, they do it. She said that's what the New Age movement is.
Wisdom. The third eye is the eye of knowledge, the eye of the divine intellect.
The eye of knowledge, the eye of the divine intellect. Now, the poor girl don't know what she's talking about. If you do get in touch with some kind of force by meditating and wrapping yourself up in a knot, it ain't God, it's a demon. But they don't know that. They don't know that. And that's what's ruining our colleges and our universities tonight.
And so, this is the first step of awakening of the consciousness.
The second function is to spread the word of the reappearance of that being who's known as the Christ.
Hear that? A second purpose? People say the New Age movement ain't a religion. We all teach it in school. Baloney, brother. They said the second purpose. First purpose is being able to look inside yourself. The second purpose is to spread the word that the reappearance of the one known as the Christ will soon be here. The Christians call him Buddha, and the Buddhists call the Christians call him Jesus, the Buddhists call him Buddha, but we know him as whatever you know, and they'll know him as who knows what when he gets here.
In the West, and known as the Bodhisattva or Maitreya Buddha or the Emanadi in the East, the world teacher.
The world teacher.
Do you have healing powers within you? Is that how you...
Listen to what this lady says. She's at that festival, and the guy interviewing her says, "Do you have healing powers within you?" And she said, "Yeah, but the weird thing about this poor girl, she don't know where the power comes from." Listen.
You heal?
Yeah.
Where do they come from?
I can tell. I took once a massage class, and my teacher told me I...
She found out she had them in a massage class. And her teacher told her she had healing powers. And listen, as he asked her, he gets her kind of bum-fuzzled here, I believe.
I have this, and I started working on people, and I discovered it is really true. I have no idea where it comes from. It comes from a higher source. But I feel it. I feel this energy going through me.
You know what that higher source is?
You can talk it, call it God or the universal soul or whatever. You have just to tap. We learn to be able to tap into it. And...
That's what happened to Hitler, brother. Hitler was a normal man till one night he went to the movies. And after he left the movies, he went up on top of this mountain, stayed all night, and the next day people started flocking to hear him talk. Something got it. He tapped in. It's like digging for gold. Ah! Found the vein here! She tapped in. She tapped in. And he said, "How'd you tap into it?"
How does one learn to tap it?
Now, when you, what's it taught today in the Zen Center, is stilling yourself and knowing.
She don't know what she's talking about. All right, let's move on here. That's what they're saying. And they're putting out books and pamphlets, and that's all that's doing is preparing the world for the Antichrist. Now see what they're doing is they're bringing sports figures, athletes, movie stars, rock singers, political leaders, and religion all together. Can't you see how the devil's just whipping it all up in one big mess? You're going to hear them talk as I begin to move on. This is a school teacher. Now, I believe I've got Benjamin Crean on here before here, but I want you to hear her talk.
The sounds that would come out yelling.
Okay. Listen to this. I worked on this all evening what time I could wake up. This lady goes into these yoga and meditation things, and she said all of a bunch of girls get in like aerobic classes. I'm not connecting aerobics with this right now. I might one of these days. But tonight I'm not. I don't know that much about it. But I'll tell you what, brother. They got in there, and she said they begin to meditate. And she said what you do is you just, you know, like that, and do a bunch of stuff like that. Seriously, for like hours. And I'm going to show you some more of this stuff as we move along the next few minutes. And they do this stuff and do this stuff, and she said all of a sudden, something comes in the room, and they just go, ah! Like that. Now listen to what she says. And these people think we're fanatics. Listen to what she says.
I just remember sometimes opening my eyes and sometimes being a part of it. You know, a bunch of girls would be hopping around the room just screaming our brains out.
Can you understand that? I'm getting as clear as I can. She said a bunch of girls would be hopping around the room screaming their brains out. Now, what would make a bunch of college girls do that? Can't you imagine looking in, there's a bunch of girls about 23 years old going, ah! That's what they're doing. They're taught that that's the way you relieve stress in universities.
They're tapping in, brother. Something's getting a hold of them. You listen. She said she would be actually lifted up off the ground and fly across the room. All right, listen. Let me get you just a little bit of that again.
And screaming, and I just remember sometimes opening my eyes and sometimes being a part of it. You know, a bunch of girls, we'd be hopping around the room just screaming our brains out. Very bizarre. But see, the thing that's so strange is we thought it was normal. Because
she said we thought it was normal.
It was explained to us that this was release of stress. And the release of stress is a positive thing, because that's what leads you to enlightenment. So we accepted it just as a normal part of the program.
A normal part of the program, she said, we accepted it because relief of stress is healthy for you. And if you relieve stress like this, then it's... And she didn't even realize she was getting into a higher power until it picked her up and stuff like that.
People would speak in strange languages.
Whoa! How many of you heard that? Say amen. Did you catch that? Is that ever a nugget we've run across here this evening? Is that ever a nugget, brother? Listen, let's hear their testimony again. This ain't a Christian talking. This is a woman telling her experience when the room got full of demons, people hopping around. Look, listen.
And the release of stress is a positive thing, because that's what leads you to enlightenment. So we accepted it just as a normal part of the program. People would speak in strange languages.
They spoke in tongues. They jerked around uncontrollably, folks, and spoke in tongues. Now, brother, are we living in a confused world, or are we living in a confused world? You don't know what... You know how what I've tried to do? But you say, well, Brother Danny, how do we even know what the right spirit is? Check it out by the King James Bible. Pray and let God lead you. I told him, I'm going to do something right here. You know how a lot of times you can tell if shouting's real or not? Just use your common sense. If somebody walked up to you tonight and gave you $1 million, now I don't know about you, but here's how I tell if it's real or not. And I try not to judge. I just say, every man to his own self, buddy. If it ain't real, it's his problem. How would you act if somebody gave you $1 million? If somebody gave me $1 million tonight, I would not go, I wouldn't do that. I would not do that if somebody gave me $1 million. If somebody walked up and said, Danny Castle, you have inherited $10 million. We're going to give it to you tomorrow. You can pay off all your bills, pay the church bills, help everybody out and do that. Do you think I would go, I wouldn't do that. You know what I'd do if somebody gave me $10 million? I'd say, woo-hoo! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus! That's exactly what I do when I get happy in the Lord. There's how you know if it's real or not. Hey, man, there's something wrong with somebody that... Just keep listening. Just keep listening. I'm going to give you some lessons here. They spoke in languages. Did you know them headhunters over in Africa drink blood out of a human skull and supernaturally speak in tongues? Now, there was real speaking in tongues in the Bible. It really happened. And God Almighty was able to do that. There was a real gift of the Spirit, but just because a person speaks in another language don't mean nothing. Listen.
Intense emotions, people getting up, jumping up and down, yelling and screaming.
Now that you look back at it, what do you think was behind it?
It had to have been some other powers taking over. Because I remember during the flying, the reason that I would be propelled in the air taking over...
During the flying?
Was this force of energy that would go up my spine and through my head. It would literally pick me up and throw me. I had no control of it.
And so I've heard the Pentecostals say that before. Something burning went up my spine and threw me on the floor and knocked me out. Now listen, I'm not denying the power of God might go up your spine. But I'm saying, brother, everything that's spirit ain't God. Everything in spirit ain't God. And the Bible says, try the spirit, whether they are of God.
Every spirit that don't confess that Jesus Christ is Lord is not of God. You know this spirit ain't of God because they don't confess nothing about Jesus.
We do a lot of dance and movement and imagination activities with the kids.
Oh yeah, there's our school teacher. Hear what she said? We've done a lot of dance and movement activities with the children. Y'all turn that light off up there, please. Ken? We've done a lot of dance and movement. Now, what in the name of common sense has dancing and movement and meditation got to do with educating our kids at school? I heard a preacher say 15 years ago that before the Lord come back, that they'd be teaching kids stuff like that, that stuff would be going on, and there'd be fornication as a part of a worship service. Brother, I thought it was ridiculous back then. Not anymore. It's happened. They've had strippers dance down the aisle in churches somewhere out in Texas. And the pastor got up and said, "Oh, isn't it wonderful how these ladies have shared their natural talents with us," and stuff like that. We're living in a sick age, man. It's time Christians quit playing games with God and got down to business and got to study and got crazy. You go crazy as a bat nowadays. Listen to what this school teacher... Listen, they have school books that teach that some great one is coming in the clouds to save us, and it ain't Jesus. They're teaching kids that they can have an out-of-body experience. They're teaching kids to be quiet and meditate. They're teaching kids to rub their temples and hold hands, acupuncture, relax the body, and be able to study. In other words, when the kids come in the classroom now, listen to what I'm getting ready to say. When the kids come in the classroom now, they're taught that they can come and sit and meditate for a few minutes and listen to soft music and get real relaxed so they can study better. What is that, folks? All that is a substitute for what they did when they kicked God out, when they come in and bowed their head and prayed. That's a substitute for quiet time. What's the difference? Amen. Sick world, ain't it? Now listen to what she says they teach them kids at school.
And in this one particular activity, one of my teachers taught her kids how to travel inside their body.
Travel inside their body.
And they would look inside their body and see what was there to see. Inside of me is, and they'd open their eyes and they'd say, and outside of me is. So they could continually get a balance between going within their own being and be very sensitive to their own inner vibrations, as well as the outside.
Listen.
Now we did this in conjunction with the regular language arts program. So see, they close their eyes and they create a picture of the love in their heart. Sometimes it's a fire, a flame. Could be a symbol of a heart, red, whatever. And they take all the love out of their heart and they feel it in their hands and they make a love ball. And if you watch the little children do...
You hear that? Can you believe that? They're telling kids, bow your head and close your eyes and look inside your heart and take all the love out and get it in your hands and make a love ball. She needs to see a psychiatrist, folks. She's cuckoo. Make a love ball. Pull the love out of your heart and make a love ball. Let's get the gloves and pull out a bat out of your throat. And somebody make some bases. You pitch. Hey, man, these people have gone nuts. It ain't no wonder kids don't know nothing no more. When you kick God out of your classroom, you're going to accept a false God. Listen to this. You'd never believe it. Who would have ever believed it 20 years ago that a teacher talked like this?
And they create a picture of the love in their heart. Sometimes it's a fire, a flame. Could be a symbol of a heart, red, whatever. And they take all the love out of their heart. And they feel it in their hands and they make a love ball. And if you watch the little children doing this, they're totally focused on it. And then they pack all this love energy in their hands. And then we have them feel and tap each other's hands to feel
that. You know what's coming in a few years, don't you? They're starting to feel each other right now.
Love energy coming off. And of course we know from the energy flow in the human body, the energy does flow off the hands. So what we're really doing is saying, here is a better way to teach what you already need to teach.
1982.
They teach kids what they call centering, which encourages kids and parents to meditate together. Here's some names of books. Meditation for Little Children tells children to contact the angel inside them and tell them that they can become sun men like Jesus and Buddha. Right, quickly, we'll move on. This is Benjamin Cream. That may be the first time you saw his picture. He was the spokesman for Lord Maitreya. You remember the article that came out and I read back here in April and said the Christ is now here and he's going to appear throughout the world? This is that guy's spokesman, and there's literally thousands of people that believe he is the Christ and he's ready to make his appearance right now, but they say the news media hadn't picked it up and pushed him to the spotlight yet. Now, I doubt if he is the Antichrist. He might be, but I doubt it. But did you know if he is, do you know what's keeping him from making his appearance? It's not the news media that won't push him. It's the Holy Ghost and us still here. And then when the Lord takes us and the Holy Ghost out of the way, then that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. And boy, one of these days the Lord's going to burn him up. But listen, you'll hear the voice of Benjamin Cream. And now we're going to talk just for about 2 or 3 minutes, and we're going to finish up in just a minute or two, about this man, Lord Maitreya.
This advertisement appeared in 19 major newspapers across the world proclaiming the Christ is now here.
Here he is.
Times is the time for that expected event.
Don't that sound spooky? The time for that expected event. Sounds just like on one of them movies they made, you know, we used to show the rapture coming and stuff like that.
And it is important to remember that all of the great religions await the coming of a teacher.
Now you hear what he's saying. All great religions await the coming of a teacher. And see, they don't know. They don't know what's right.
An avatar. The Christians await the return of the Christ. At the same time, the Buddhists await the coming of another Buddha, the fifth Buddha, foretold by Gautama Buddha. And they call him Maitreya Buddha.
Maitreya Buddha. Now listen to these interviews about Lord Maitreya.
At the dawn of the new age.
We're at the dawn of the new age.
Sometimes the Muslims await the Imam Mahdi. Some of them believe he's already in the world. The Hindus await the return of Krishna.
Y'all listening tonight? Folks, every Hindus, Muslims, Chinese, Japanese, every group in the world is awaiting a leader to show up. My. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? The whole world's looking for a leader. Buddy, when that Antichrist steps out on the scene, you talk about a spirit of deception going to flow over this world. Listen, if you're not saved here tonight, we could go out of here tonight and leave you behind to worship that devil. Ask them, could they please keep the light off upstairs, Randy? If they don't mind, please keep it off. It keeps interfering, coming off and on like that. Listen to it.
The Bodhisattva and the Jews, as always, await the coming of the Messiah. I speak out of the esoteric tradition, and esotericists know all of these under one name, the World Teacher, and await His return now at the dawn of the New Age.
Man. Who said the New Age wasn't a religion? Benjamin Cream said, all of these are looking for the same one. He's the World Teacher. Lord Maitreya at the dawning of the New Age.
You are watching members of the Tarjis are delivered into the group by the spiritual hierarchy.
May Christ return to earth.
Listen to that prayer. May Christ return to earth. Now what would the average Christian in McDowell County think? Oh, how wonderful. They're praying for Jesus to come. You didn't hear them say Jesus. They said Christ. Brother, the devil's got a Christ. He's the Antichrist. They ain't praying for Jesus Christ to come. Listen.
From the center, where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the master...
Now, they ain't a kid 10 years old in here can't figure out that's the wrong spirit. You don't chant and recite prayers like that in real Christianity. I don't care if he's Catholic. I don't care if he's worship Lord Maitreya. You don't... Our Father, for thy name, that's the way they do. That ain't worshiping God, man. You're psyching yourself out. Listen.
Please send through the energy now. We are prepared to deal with it. And to...
Hey, that sounds like my rock music presentation, don't it? That sounds like Motley Crue. Shout, shout, shout at the devil. And they say if we keep shouting at the devil, he'll send the Antichrist. She's saying, please send forth the energy. We are now prepared to receive it. The world praying for the Antichrist to come. My, my, that's scary. Boy, it makes me want to preach. Boy, it makes me want to live for God. Boy, it makes me want to look up and get my bills paid and be right with my neighbor and teach my kids right. Jesus is coming soon.
Work with it. Bring this message forth. The media didn't respond.
See?
Are there a lot of people that believe the way you do, or are you a little group here?
No, we are not isolated at all. If you read the newspapers closely, you will begin to see that there are people like Buckminster Fuller and Barbara Marx Hubbard, if you're familiar with their names, that are saying that we are about to experience a planetary Pentecost, and they are referring to a single day.
Did you hear that? Woo-wee! Brother, I wasn't talking about no Christianity there. She said they are leaders that believe that we are about to experience a planetary Pentecost, and they are referring to a single day. They believe there's going to be one day when all of a sudden, whoosh, a big power is going to come down, and they're going to emerge, and a leader is going to come out of it. But there's one little thing got to happen before that big power comes down. There's going to be a little group go out.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. That's us. Boy, that's getting exciting. I'm going to show you who's blamed for all this mess. Now, I'm a little bit prejudiced. I blame the Beatles for all the evil in the world. You didn't hear me preach none of that. I believe the Beatles ruined the world, brother. Charles Manson about had the right interpretation. Charlie Manson, believe it all, he said the Beatles were them four angels that were loosed out of the River Euphrates in the book of Revelation. Oh boy, I might have had something there, you know. But I don't think Charles Manson was a Bible scholar. But I tell you what, son, they're as close to four demons as anything has ever been on this earth. The Beatles are the one that is indirectly responsible for the drug culture. The Beatles started the hippie movement. The Beatles started the rock movement. Of course, Elvis got it kicked off, but the Beatles were the one that gave it the push. And the Beatles what pushed Aleister Crowley and started made Hotel California and the Satanic Church and Anton LaVey and got all that stuff popular in America. And the Beatles is what got Hinduism popular in America. By the song My Sweet Lord, George Harrison. And to beat it all, the devil stands back and laughs. Back when I first got saved in the early 70s, there were young people's groups all over Baptist churches getting up in church and singing My Sweet Lord. And the dummies didn't know it was written about Hare Krishna. Boy, if we ain't suckers in this generation. You remember that song? I really want to know you. I really want to see you. In the background, they're going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare, 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 Hare. They chant that stuff, man. And they chant it. I'm going to show you, listen, let you hear it where that they chant those things 2 hours a day. You do anything 2 hours a day and it's going to get in your brain.
Yes, sir.
Too bad Christians won't pray 2 hours a day, ain't it?
What we call new age groups that feel that we are on the verge of a,
listen,
somebody else calls it a quantum leap in consciousness.
Whatever that is.
There are many people, we get letters all the time from these people that are feeling the same thing. They are having visions, they are experiencing dreams.
Whoa! Visions and dreams? In the last days, the devil pours out his spirit. And they'll be having visions and dreams. God's doing a lot of work too. But that last day is where God pours out His spirit on all flesh at the end of the tribulation. Man, ain't this confusing.
They are having expansions of consciousness.
She said people's having dreams, visions, and experiences of consciousness. Whatever that is.
Sorts of things that make what we are saying a fact.
There are books that call for the creation of a new world order.
New world order.
Food authority, water authority, a new world information order.
A new world information order, new water, new government, new religion, one world government.
Every human being has an electromagnetic field. Very delicate, very difficult to sense, but there it is. And that when you're feeling negative, it's negative. When you're feeling positive.
Absolutely.
That's Constance Cumby.
And it's a world, will he lead a one world government?
It is a world leader of a different sense.
It is only then that I realized that all of them...
Okay, I got something good for you. This is a breath of fresh air, and then we'll do the last part. I forgot about this old boy being in here. That is the goals of the New Age movement. Let me read them to you. Number one, meditation as a norm. Everybody should meditate. Now, see how the devil slipped his religion in place of God? Where we used to preach, pray every day. Everybody should pray every day. We kicked God out of our schools in the 60s. We want God out of our life in the 70s and 80s. Now they're saying meditate every day. What's the difference? You're just talking to the other power. Number two, spiritual guidance. They don't tell you what spirit, and they don't tell you where it's guiding you. Number three, spiritual support groups. Lordy mercy, no telling what goes on there. Number four, consistent visualization. Number five, meditation in schools to get your kids into the occult. Number six, unlimited human potential. Hogwash. Number seven, a new economic order, bringing the whole world together. Number eight, peacekeeping. What? That means you live peacefully with me or I'll blow your head off. All right. That's a kind of a contradictory statement. Peacekeeping force.
Many, many mystical experiences.
Listen to this guy here. This old boy's a blessing. He was a guru and led in meditation and yoga and all kinds of things, teaching people that. And he wasn't happy inside and he went seeking the truth and got saved. And listen, this is his testimony. I loved it. I loved it. I was going getting us off a video, and that old boy started talking about shout. One shout.
Will he lead a one world government?
Listen.
He's a world leader of a different sense.
Here he comes.
It is only then that I realized that all the many, many mystical experiences I was having, psychedelic experiences without drugs, all the visions that I had of seeing the gods and so on,
seeing God,
all part and parcel of the darkness that was in me. God set me free from all of that. And Christ, who said, I am the light of the world, entered my life and made me a brand new person.
Amen.
God gave me a much more fantastic hope. A hope to be with Him in His kingdom forever and ever.
Amen. Right in the middle of all that, God's still saving souls. We still got the real power. Almighty's still greater than anything the devil of the New Age movement hatched up. Shirley MacLaine ain't got nothing that would touch what this youth choir's had up here a while ago. Amen. God's still the greatest. Don't ever doubt that.
To a psychic surgeon, tells of her experiences in the occult in her autobiography, The Beautiful Side of Evil.
Another word for mantra is charm, or to cast a spell, if you will.
Well, look who popped in there on that New Age magazine. If it ain't our old buddy from Hotel Street in California, Anton LaVey. What's he doing in there? I bet you won't see Charles Worley's picture in there. Anton LaVey's a religious leader.
Yeah.
What about Brady Adkins? Or Bobby Carter, one of them guys? Well, listen to what this lady says here.
And in mantra yoga, a word or a phrase or the name of a demon god is repeated over and over.
Now that's mantra yoga. And they say you repeat the word or a phrase over and over and over and over until it just blows your mind.
Over and over again to bring the individual to a vibration level that will attract that which is being chanted for, to bring about the desired effect. It's exactly what the white witches and magicians, so-called, use in the casting of their spells.
Listen.
We were always told, no, it's just a meaningless sound.
The chant goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, did you get that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Rama. I don't know what all that means. But they say they do that 2 hours a day. And you hear that? That kind of sounds like rap back in the back of there. You know, can you see a bunch of natives dancing around? You can't touch this. Right. Now that's the flesh. This right here is the spirit. This right here is the spirit. And they get in there and they say, play a gourd, you know. And they start meditating. Listen to this, how they do it. Get psyched out, get demon possessed.
Mantras is one round, and they chant that 16 times a day. That takes 2 hours to do every day.
Christians won't pray 30 minutes. They're chanting the Hare Krishna 2 hours a day. Oh, brother, you want to see the power of God fall here next Sunday? If everybody went out of here this week and prayed 2 hours a day, it'd be so thick in here next Sunday morning, you couldn't see. That's what we need to be on our faces before our God.
Kriya mind, as they call it, faultless mind, is sometimes referred to as a hypnotizing or brainwash technique, because whenever you're having a problem or running into some confrontation, you retreat to the security of the chanting.
In other words, if you have problems in your life, you just hurry, 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 hurry until you forget it. There it comes. That's what started it.
Mantra yoga acceptable to the world through his song, My Sweet Lord, where he includes...
Did you hear what she's saying? George Harrison is the one that got it started in the Western world. Listen, remember this? All you old fogies?
The chant to a Hindu god, Hare Krishna, simultaneously with the biblical chant of praise, Hallelujah.
Remember that?
So that both religions are the same, and to make Hinduism more acceptable. To pretend that all religions are the same.
Man, we used to go around saying that all the time. When I was that high. I didn't know he was talking about a false god in Hinduism. And now I'm going to let you see the scariest thing I've seen, and we're closing. A bunch of people sitting in a floor, like about 100 of them. And I don't know how they're doing. I don't know if I can imitate it, but they were doing something like this. They had these boom, 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 and these people were going like that. And they keep doing that for a long time, and then all of a sudden, they just go like that and roll around in the floor and scream and holler. And it's just like you're letting off steam, temper tantrum, something like that. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. And I'll read you some scripture here, and I'm going to begin this message tonight talking about the New Age movement. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Now this ain't going to be like my other slide presentation. This is going to be more of a documentary rather than a real evangelistic push, and so we're going to go a little slow, and it might be a little boring. Excuse me if you don't listen, so please listen and pay attention. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Look at verse number 8. Ecclesiastes 1:8. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing.
nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. According to the book, they, nobody can come running up and say, I have found something new. It's already been here. Somebody else has already fooled with it. Somebody else has already messed around with TM and yoga before George Harrison them wrote My Sweet Lord. Somebody's already been fooling around with that stuff, and I'm going to show you where it comes from, the roots of it, tonight. By the way, the roots of all meditation and yoga is Hinduism. And if you have somebody uptown here and they say, we're going to give you a meditation class and teach you TM and stuff like that, all they are is a Hindu and don't know it. All that stuff comes from Hinduism, where a person looks into their inner self and begins to see the inside of them and get in touch with reality, because they believe that God is all and all is God and everything is God and you are God and I'm God and this is God and that's God, and all reality and everything you can see and touch is God. And one of the sad things about a lot of that Eastern mysticism is they believe in strongly in reincarnation. And they believe that when you die, that you're going to come back again. And if you do wrong, something sinful in this life, that you'll pay for it in others' lives. So if a man gets sick or gets cancer or gets AIDS or leukemia or something like that, or something bad happens to him, you have a bad car wreck, they say, well, it ain't no use to feel sorry for him. He's paying for something he done in a previous life, before this life. So therefore they have no compassion on the sick and suffering and just let them live. It's a twisted, perverted view of reality, and of course, and me and you know it, as a doctrine of demon. Now, as we begin tonight, I'm going to read you a few quotes and tell you why the New Age movement has suddenly just skyrocketed and become real famous. They had, I'll show you maybe a picture of it in a minute, out in, of all places, San Francisco, a New Age festival a few years ago. Literally tens of thousands of people come and set up booths, and they help push all their mantras and shagnas and rastras and blah, blah, you know, all that juru, mas, rish, mos, Eastern mysticism. And they, and listen, brother, that stuff gets plumb. It gets on down to holistic theology and even health foods and acupuncture and laying hands on people and the power of touch and all kind of wild things like that. Matter of fact, I heard about this one lady. Now, some of you might take this wrong, but a Christian lady gave a testimony that she got in all this nutrition foods. And they said, I met with a group of ladies and we had Bible studies on a certain night of the week. And she said what it really amounted to was we had Bible study real quick and got it over with, and then all we talked about was nutrition. And she said, little by little, that stuff started sounding spooky to me. She said they began to talk about eating certain kinds of leaves and beans or tea and stuff to make your eyes better and this and that and this and that. And it almost borderlines on some old Eastern philosophy. Now, I'm not saying that you're supposed to be scared to eat sunflower seeds or nothing like that, but I'm saying a lot of those Eastern mysticism stuff fools around with what they call holistic health, which means you keep yourself healthy by eating the right thing and doing this and that. Now, there might be some truth and some good in that, but a Bible study, it's like somebody saying we're Christians and using it to push Amway. You know, you don't use the Bible to push Amway. Amen? Amen. So tonight, the beginnings of the New Age movement is touching every part of our lives. They call it NAM. That means New Age movement. And people like Shirley MacLaine, the actress, is really giving it a boost.
Here's what she said. I'm going to quote you what happened to Shirley MacLaine in a hot tub when she had this experience. Quote, "My whole body seemed to float. Slowly, slowly, I became the water. I felt the interconnection of my breathing with the pulse of the energy around me. In fact, I was the air, the water, the darkness, the walls, the bubbles, the candle, the wet rocks under the water, and even the sound of the rushing river outside." That's a quote from Shirley MacLaine. That's what made Shirley MacLaine be able to go out in the Pacific Ocean and throw her hands up and chant over and over, "I am God. I am God." It's a strange thing. It's a weird day that we're living in. We're living in this day when channelers are so popular. How many of you know what a channeler is? A channeler is like a pipeline, see? And these people, a lot of movie stars go to them, and they'll say, "Give me some advice. Should I go on this TV program? Should I invest $1 million in this stock? Should I move?" One famous movie star, I believe it's Linda Evans, goes to a channeler and gets off Dynasty. You know Dynasty. She gets her directions from a channeler. I believe her name's Knight or something like that. I got her name over here. And she told Linda Evans that a big earthquake was going to strike her part of Los Angeles and destroy it. And it's reported that Linda Evans is moving out of there and bought her $1.5 million mansion up north of Los Angeles because of what her channeler told them to do. And she, I'm going to give you some other folks that are influenced by them that you might recognize their names. Helen Reddy, Marsha Mason, Lisa Bonet, Tina Turner, and musician Paul Horn. Shirley MacLaine's books and televised series Out on a Limb has led millions of people to New Age occultism and spirit contact. Phil Donahue, Oprah Winfrey, and other major talk shows have had people on them endorsing spirit guides and the New Age. For example, July 25th, 1986, actor and convert Michael York appeared on the Merv Griffin Show with Jock Purcell, who channeled Lazarus before. Lazarus is a spirit, and they get demons. They don't call it a demon. That's what we call it. And right before millions of people channeled him up on television. Many of our top stars are now consulting him. Actress Sharon Gless, who plays Cagney on the TV show Cagney and Lacey, who won an Emmy Award in 1987. In her acceptance speech of the Emmy Award, Cagney and Lacey said, she told tens of millions of people her success was due to Lazarus. And that's why she got famous and won the award. Linda Evans, Joyce DeWitt, who played on Three's Company, following the guidance of another spirit channeled by a housewife channeler. Occult film strips are promoting seances and necromancy in some elementary schools. Tarot card readings are offered at McDonald's restaurants. University students are turning out by the thousand to hear guest lectures on the occult. There's a new faith emerging in scientific mysticism, and the New Age themes are many sectors of society. In short, what I'm saying is the New Age movement is important for us to know about because it is shifting the way American people think about spiritual things from Christian values to the practices of the occult. Now, the New Age movement can be summarized in four basic beliefs. Number one, that all true reality is God. Number two, that personal enlightenment is important since men exist in a state of ignorance of their divine nature. Number three, that altered consciousness, psychic powers, and spirit contact are the means of such enlightenment, that you get help from, quote, the force, you know. That's the same today, the force. They don't know if it's God, they don't know what it is, they just call it a force, and you'll hear that in just a moment. And number four, that in many quarters, social and political activism is needed to help organize people of like mind to produce a united world, socially, economically, religiously, and politically. Now, there's why it's important for us. You say, Brother Danny, it don't matter what them bunch of nuts out in Hollywood do. What's that got to do with an independent Bible-believing church like we are? Why don't you just preach the Bible tonight? What I'm saying is this. The reason we ought to be concerned and know what's going on is they are an organized movement to bring in a one-world government. That's where me and you come in. They are organizing the world to become one religiously. And all this talk about bringing the denominations together and let's all work together and just forget this and that and all denominations work together, Catholic, Protestant, Jews, everybody, we all love God. All that is an attempt of the what's called the movement of the liberals and the one world economic government religious world, setting up the world under a one world religious political system for the Antichrist to take over. That's what's coming. Sure is. That's what's coming. Now, let me move on right quickly and give you a few more quotes and we'll show you some stuff. In Los Angeles alone, there are only 1,000 channelers right now. Jack Purcell channels Lazarus. He contacts Lazarus and gives these rich people advice. He said that he unexpectedly possessed him one evening during meditation and began to speak through him. A weekend seminar with Purcell channeling Lazarus and telling you important decisions to make cost $275 a person, with 600 to 800 people in attendance, or $200,000 a weekend that bird's getting. Ain't that something? Do you know how Motley Crue got rich? Do you know how Guns N' Roses got rich? There's 10,000 bands in America that can make as good a music as them guys can. His old Slash, you know. His hair looks like it. That's the way he plays the guitar. Bunch of drug addicts off the street. You say, well, how come some just hit it and some don't? This guy here is making $200,000 a weekend. You know how he done it? And he made contact. Boy, he got a hold of something. And something energized him, and now he's making $200,000 a week. Whatever it is that got in Jack Purcell gave him the ability to get a hold of people. Did you know, where's Thomas at? Is Thomas here tonight, Brother Thomas? Thomas got to see Kiss, the rock group Kiss in Atlanta. And he went in the back room, and it was Atlanta down there, and he said when Gene Simmons, the singer on the rock group Kiss, came in the room, you could feel something. And he said when that man talked, everybody just stared at him. Like a force around him, like a force field, like a power. You know how a person gets rich and famous? Well, Cagney told you how she got up. Listen, some of them movie stars, I've seen girls walking down the street and marrying pretty as some of them are. Not many, but some. I mean, it's happened. But did you know something, ladies and gentlemen? How does a preacher get anywhere? He goes on the mountain and prays and God anoints him. I mean, listen, but How does a preacher raise up and do a great work for God? He's getting power from somewhere. The man can't do that by himself. Something's giving him power. He's paid a price. He's staying on his knees. He's maybe give up things when his friends was out praying and doing other things. He was seeking God and God anointed him. Now how does a man get power of the devil? He gets closer and gives himself to the devil. More and more and more. And the devil says, I like you, bud. Let's get rich. You don't do. And the devil starts moving over them disc jockeys. Play their record. And then he starts moving on the kids. They're cool. How in the world could people fall in love with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle? You tell me how they could do that. I mean, explain that. Bart Simpson. Lord have mercy. Why all of a sudden, boom, something's an overnight success making millions of dollars? Have you ever thought about stuff like that? Kind of weird, ain't it? It's weird. Lazarus, if you talk to him personally, it's $100 an hour almost.
And Lazarus still has a 2-year waiting list. What if we preached on every weekend and charged you $275 each to get in here? Attendance would be down, wouldn't it? His audio tapes sell at $20 a set, video at $60. Lazarus also may be contacted by phone at only $53 a half hour charge to your MasterCard or Visa. Let me give you some of the beliefs of the New Age movement. God is an all-impersonal, pervading energy. The Holy Spirit is an energy that can be used creatively or physically. Jesus Christ is a New Age teacher, an illustration of an enlightened individual who realized He was God. Now, if you don't learn nothing else tonight, if you learn what I'm getting ready to say, it'd be worth you coming to church here tonight. When a New Age guy talks about Jesus Christ, now it's the same thing for them Moonies that sit out there and sell them roses. And it's the same thing for these weirdos at the airport and these mahop, mahoop, mahip, all these weirdos, man. You can tell by looking at them there's something crazy about them. There's something missing somewhere. All these cults, they all believe the same thing about Jesus Christ. You don't ever make the mistake of saying, well, do you believe in Jesus? They'll say, sure I do. And you think, oh, isn't it wonderful, they're a Christian. Brother, when you say you believe in Jesus, and they say, yeah, they ain't thinking what you think when you say I believe in Jesus. You know what they think? They believe that the Christ is a person that's helped people all down through the years. And in every age, the Christ picks out somebody to work through. You understand? So in one age, the Christ picked Buddha and spoke to people through him. In another age, he picked Jesus and spoke through him. So when they say Christ is coming soon, they ain't even talking about the Lord Jesus that me and you are. They're talking about another man coming in that the Christ is going to be working through. So it's so confusing, and people don't never read their Bible, Christians don't never study. They're just suckered in thinking that all these people saved. The devil's got it all mixed up like a big old bowl of spaghetti. Well, you can't tell what's going on nowadays if you don't study and read the Bible and stay up on what's happening. And tonight, when they say the Christ will soon be here, they ain't talking about Jesus. They're talking about that mystical person, Christ, that's always existed inhabiting somebody else's body. And you know what I heard one of them say on tape, that tape I've been listening to and watching on video? They said every 2,000 years that we get a new leader as a Christ, they say it's time for another right now. And he's coming. He's coming. But he ain't Jesus. He ain't Jesus. Let me give you a few more beliefs right quickly. We'll hurry. Now, when you talk about sin, they say that's ignorance of your personal divinity. Oh, brother. In the pantheistic teachings of the New Age movement is rejected by the Word of God. The Bible teaches that the eternal, infinite God created a finite universe from nothing. The Bible teaches that wisdom and knowledge come by non-mystical means. The Bible teaches that revealed knowledge comes from the Bible, not from meditating or looking into your inner self from your third eye in the middle of your head and understanding your deep consciousness and all that baloney. The Bible teaches an absolute morality which is based on God's character. The New Age movement teaches a morality based on personal preference, which means if you think it's bad, it's bad, and you think it's not bad, it's not bad. The knowledge of God, the Bible teaches that God is infinite, loving, personal, and you can know Him. In the New Age movement, God is just a force. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was unique in nature as the only incarnation of God. The Bible teaches that sin is real. They teach it's all in your imagination and you're poisoned by religious upbringing. In the Bible, salvation occurs when a man repents and receives Christ as his Savior. The New Age movement teaches that salvation is a lengthy process of realizing your own divinity. It's not a gift, but is achieved by personal effort and merit, as in yoga meditation. And on and on and on and on, they contradict and blaspheme the Word of God.
I'm going to try to pronounce some of these names like applied kismiology, muscle testing, homeopathy, a diluting of certain essences for medical treatment, and the alleged medical diagnosis by inspecting of the iris in the eye, and therapeutic touch, an Eastern form of laying on of hands, and dozens of other weird kinds of ways of making you well. One or two more quotes and we'll start the thing. Acupuncture. Actress Jacqueline Smith had a whiplash. Actor James Garner had a pain in his knee. Robert Wagner wanted to quit smoking, and Merv Griffin was exhausted. Each of them went to Zion U, Hollywood's leading acupuncturist. He jokes that he's needled a lot of people, you know, and talked about them, and acupuncture means needle, picking with a needle, just like if you got a back pain, they'll stick a needle in your ear right here, and it's supposed to make your back better, and stuff like that. Now, there might be some points. As an old man about 100 years old gave me a little thing up in Ohio, and he said, if you'll wiggle your toes on this thing every day, you'll never have a headache. And I said, I'll try it. I kept that thing in my car, and I fooled around with it and rubbed around in my hand. I can't tell if it's made me not have headaches or not. I had one this morning after staying up about all night. But they think that if you punch your thing, you know, it might be like if you got a headache real bad and you mash that thing hard enough in your toe, it'll hurt so bad you forget your head. I don't know. I think that's the way some of that stuff works. Amen. All right. Now, I've got, there's some books by a lady named Alice Bailey, and there's a real smart lady, and I don't know what kind of Christianity she's got, but she's a fine lady, and her name's Constance Cundy, and she's real smart on stuff like this, and she's a lawyer from Motown up in Michigan, and she does some research on things like this, and, This lady talks about books by Alice Bailey and says that she wrote about three books, and that is the base of the New Age movement. Then there's a lot of other people, names that you'll begin to notice besides Shirley MacLaine, Dick Sutphin, Dash Ram, David Spangler, Robert Mueller, John Randolph Price, Ruth Montgomery, Abraham Maslow, Barbara Marks Hubbard. And so a lot of those names are names strongly connected with the New Age movement. Now, what I want to do is show you how this thing got started and then tell you some weird things that are going on, and I'm going to deny what they're saying, that the New Age movement is not a religion. It most definitely is a religion. So leave this light one on just real dim so I can see my notes and get the rest of them off all together, and let's see, we didn't even have time to run over this stuff this morning, but we'll see what we can do. I mean, this evening, we didn't even have time to set it up. Just a little bit dimmer, brother. Down, down, down. A little bit more. A little bit more. A little bit more. That's good. Here's how it started. Now listen, if you grew up in the 60s, I'm going to bring back a feeling that you had back in the 60s. And you that grew up as teenagers in the 60s had no idea what you were listening to. But here's what started it.
Oh, he's in the same town.
Listen to the words.
And Jupiter aligns with Mars.
Jupiter and Mars.
Then peace will guide the planet. And love.
Remember that?
Just in the dawn.
This is the dawning of the age of America. The age of America. America.
Gaining momentum in our country, which hopes to transform the world. Although its members are from diverse backgrounds, they are drawn together by common beliefs and objectives.
All right, did you hear what the man said?
They hope to transform the world. Now, this is at the festival in California. New Age work has all kinds of different... Turn that light out up there, would y'all? All right, appreciate that. They have all kinds of branches, see, and that's tied in with them. Many of them people may deny. But listen what these people are talking about as they interview them at that festival in San Francisco.
Why is a festival like this important? Because we need to have direction. You know, the ways we've been, the old ways no longer fit with today's, what people want today. We can't do it the old way. We need new ways.
The most exciting time, I think, in the whole history of mankind.
Hear what the man said? Can you understand him back there? You can't? Yes or no? I can't see nothing. Hey, listen. He said, we are at the most exciting point of the history of mankind. And now listen real carefully and see if you can understand what he's saying.
We can either...